The sermon text for this morning, we're moving through the what we call the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, and we're down to chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There was a small upper room. We really don't know whose house it was in. It may have been in the house that Mark lived in, a boy named John Mark, a teenager whose father seemed to be quite wealthy and was a follower of Jesus. And this was the night we call Maundy Thursday, and Jesus was in that upper room with his disciples, and it was dark outside, and they were eating supper. And he looked at them and he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And yet only a short time after he said these words, all hell broke loose. The enemies came and grabbed Jesus and nailed him to a tree and killed him. Bitter persecution broke out against the Christians in Jerusalem. Stephen was dragged outside the city and stoned until he was dead. Peter was thrown into prison and James was killed with a sword. And this happened right after Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Now, either what Jesus promised never came to pass, or else the kind of peace that he's talking about is a lot different from what you and I would expect when we usually think about peace. Now, Isaiah has a beautiful passage, some of you probably memorized it, that has some of the names that Jesus would have when he was born. And they said his name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So when Jesus came, people were looking for the Prince of Peace, somebody who was a peaceful man. But there were some things in his life that didn't look very peaceful. For example, in John chapter 2, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting there. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and all the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold the doves, "Take these things out of here. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Now, this didn't look very peaceful. Jesus came in and made a whip and started swinging away and drove these guys right out of the temple. And he chewed them out. He said, "You guys get out of here. This isn't a place of merchandise. This isn't a business in here. This is my Father's house, and it's a house of prayer." But you see, he didn't look very peaceable, did he? Another time he said this to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to send peace on the earth. I did not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set up man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household." Sometimes Jesus doesn't cause peace at all. He causes tremendous division, sometimes even splitting families right apart. He says, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Now, we're supposed to love our father. God tells us that. And we're supposed to love our mother, but not more than God. And Jesus says, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. Then he said, "He that loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, you little children can't begin to imagine how much a father and mother love their children. When you get married and have children, then you'll know what we're talking about here. But you can't even love them more than Jesus. And then Jesus said, "He that does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that finds his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." It's kind of an odd thing here. The person that finds his life, and by that Jesus means the one who lives the way he wants to live. He has a good time, does what he wants, and thinks he can have everything. That person is going to lose it. But the one who loses his life for Jesus' sake, That's the one that's finally going to find it. Now, when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemaker here, he's not talking about those who make peace at any cost. He's not talking about that at all. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is the greatest cause of division and strife that has ever been seen in the world. And it wasn't only when he was born into the world either. You see this happen way from the beginning. Remember that time when the children of Israel were huddled by the Red Sea? And Pharaoh's army came down there with horses and chariots and bows and arrows and swords and spears, and they were ready to kill these people? Why did that happen? What was the cause of that ugly scene? Well, the children of Israel wanted to go out in the wilderness 3 days' journey and worship God. That's why Pharaoh got all upset about this. One of the favorite Bible stories of children is Daniel in the lion's den. Why was Daniel in the lion's den? It's because the king caught him praying to his God. That's why. Or why were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three teenage Hebrew children, why were they thrown into the fiery furnace? Because the king said, you bow down and worship this image that I've made of stone. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. And they didn't do that. They said, we're not afraid of you, O king. We know that God has told us only to worship him. And we're not going to worship this image. They weren't afraid. And you and I are going to have to suffer for this too. Sometimes it costs us something to be a Christian. To live according to the words of Jesus. Sometimes your classmates might say bad things against you. That's all right. That doesn't make any difference. What they think doesn't count anyway. It's what Jesus thinks. Now, what kind of peace is Jesus talking about when he says peacemakers and when he's called the Prince of Peace? Well, the Lord tells us in Colossians, it has pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. When Jesus died on the cross, and his blood dripped down on the ground, remember when the Roman soldier pierced his side and blood and water came out? Before that, when they hammered nails into his hands and feet and his blood was pouring out, he was making peace. But what kind of peace was he making? He was making peace between man and God. Now, this war started back in the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve, and God planted all these beautiful trees in the Garden of Eden, and God said to Adam, you can eat of any tree that you want to except one. There's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't you eat of that, for in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. And what did Adam do? He said, I'm going to eat of it anyway. He didn't come around and say that, but that's what happened. And Eve was deceived by the serpent, but Adam wasn't. He knew what he was doing. And when he defiantly ate of the forbidden tree, he was declaring war between him and God. That's what he was doing. And when God came walking into the garden, Adam couldn't face him. And Adam went and the King James says he made an apron out of fig leaves, but the real word means armor. He made armor out of fig leaves. He had to have armor now because he was at war with God. But his armor didn't work. Nobody can fight against God. And so God and man now were at war with each other. Well, Jesus came and he made peace through the blood of his cross. He said to his Father, take all of their sins and put them on me and punish me in their place. And take the perfect life that I have lived and give it to them. And that's what happened. So your sins were all paid for when Jesus died on the cross. And now you're not at war with God anymore. You're his child. Your sins have been washed away by the blood of his cross. But that's the only way it could happen. Now this peace shows itself in a big change that has happened in our lives. We ourselves also one time were foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving many lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's how we are by nature. We're selfish. We don't like each other. We want what's good for us. We don't care about anybody else. That's how our heart is by nature. Well, Jesus takes that away. He says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. And you live to help other people. God will take care of you, and that's exactly what he does. Now in Romans chapter 8, chapter 12, he says this, if it is possible, as much as you are able to, live peaceably with all men. You might have neighbors that are unbelievers, and they might come and steal something of yours. Well, don't steal anything back. Jesus says, don't return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. And as far as you're concerned, if they say a bad thing toward you, don't swear back at them. Don't say anything mean back at them. Sometimes you'll change their whole attitude. As far as you're able to, you live peaceably with everybody. Now, some people won't let you do that, but that's on their heads, not on yours. In the book of Hebrews, the Lord says this, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. And this is finally how this peace is going to show itself. It's going to show itself in how you live. But, you know, if you really want to find this peace, you know where you're going to have to look? You're going to have to look in your heart. Because this is not something all the time that you can see. Sometimes other people will see that you have this peace. Sometimes they won't. But it's always going to be there. And the reason it's there is because you are children of God. You are peacemakers. You have made peace between you and God by accepting Jesus' blood. And you're spreading his gospel by the way you live. And you're peacemakers, so you're God's children. And if you're God's children, then this means he is your father. And I'm going to tell you a little story right now that is one of my favorite ones. It's a story about a king. And this king was searching for peace. And he had in his kingdom three famous artists. These men were excellent painters. Their paintings sold for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So he called these three men into his palace and he told each one of them, I want you for the next year to work on a picture of what you consider to be perfect peace. And this year, next year at this time, bring back your picture and I'm going to give a big amount of cash for the picture I like best. So for a whole year, these three men, the artists, worked painting a picture, each one on what he thought was perfect peace. And finally, a year later, they each came and they brought their picture. They had it covered with a cloth. And the king said to the first artist, now take the cloth off your picture. I want to see what you painted. So he did. And there was a beautiful picture of a lake. The lake was in the front of the picture. The water was very, very calm. It was just like a mirror, not a ripple on it. And in the distance, there were some beautiful mountains. And the sun was going down. And the artist pictured a beautiful sunset reflecting across the water. It was one of the most peaceful scenes you could ever see in your life. The king really liked that one. So he said to the second one, why don't you take it, show me your picture, see what you consider to be perfect peace. So this man took the cloth off his picture. He had pictured a great big table there, a whole bunch of really good things to eat on it. And there was a man at one end, a woman at the other, and their husband and wife and their children were sitting around the table eating. And that was what he considered to be perfect peace. And the king liked that one too. But then he came to the third one. And this was the one that got the prize, and it was really surprising. The king told the third man to take his cloth off the picture, and he did. And the first thing you saw was a tremendous storm raging there. A big flash of lightning was coming down out of the sky, and you could almost hear the thunder even just by looking at the picture. And you could see the wind blowing, and there was a sea down there, and the big waves were crashing up against the shore. The worst storm you'd ever seen in your life. But in the front of the picture, off to one side, was a great big rock. And in a cleft of that rock, there was a little sparrow. And you know what that sparrow was doing? He was sleeping. The terrible storm was going on out there, and the sparrow was sleeping. And the king said, this is really what peace is. It's peace in the middle of a storm. And this is the peace that Jesus is talking about. He said, you know, if you follow me, you're going to suffer, it's going to be hard for you on this life, but I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to send my Holy Spirit into your heart, and I'm going to give you peace. And when you're carrying the cross, you're going to have peace there, because you know that you are a child of God. And you know that the crosses that you're carrying and the suffering that you are enduring, it has been given to you from your Heavenly Father, and He gives you good things. And tremendous blessings are going to come from the crosses that you are carrying. This is the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about when He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We'll have a prayer.